are Locked On Pistons, your daily Detroit Pistons podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
4 seconds left. He's got the ball. He should have it. Isaiah hangs on the ball, flips it up to the Raptors. Detroit is the city of champions again.
Detroit basketball.
What up? Welcome to the Locked On Pistons podcast, your episode for Tuesday, January 21st, and what's happening in Pistons land could be a lot different right now as you listen to this than when I recorded this. This is your boy Matt Shook, the host of the Locked On Pistons podcast, a sports writer here in Detroit City covering the NBA for the Detroit News and Associated Press, Pistons fan and follower my whole life, and a sports newspaper reporter for over a decade as well. Thanks for listening. Thanks for spreading the word about the Locked On Pistons podcast. We're coming to you taped on Thursday night for now, so the Pistons could have gotten a couple of wins by the time you listen to this. Maybe they have some new players. Maybe they have a bunch of new first-round draft picks, or maybe not much has changed and they split against the Hawks and the Wizards. But today, we're going to hear from our guest host to tell you all about the Wizards game. And also, a little bit later on, I've got my taped interview that I already did with Andy Isaac of Up Rocks. Who's Andy Isaac? You know Andy Isaac. He is World of Isaac from Twitter, and also Fatterday Isaac from Instagram. You know Andy, so enjoy my interview with him. And what I didn't know when I recorded it, and I saw it later on social media, was that we talked Thursday morning, and it was on his 40th birthday, I believe. So happy belated birthday to Andy Isaac. Thanks a lot, bud, for coming on the show. Really appreciate it. And sounds like he probably, I would imagine, had a great time eating some good food in celebration. We're talking food with him. We're talking Detroit Pistons with him, Michigan State Spartans, but mostly just food, as I enjoyed having the conversation with him. That's coming up after the guest host gives you the lowdown on the Pistons here on the Locked On Pistons podcast. So for now, I just guess we'll just kind of leave it at that. So guest host, what happened in Pistons land these last few days?
Hey, what's up, everybody? This is Chubbs, a.k.a. P-O-E-G-B. I'm here filling in for Matt. Live in Oakland in the airport, headed back to Detroit on this here episode, Monday, January 20th, 2020. Just want to say happy Martin Luther King Day to everybody. A little bit about me. I'm also a lifelong Pistons fan and follower. I love basketball. Want to coach someday. Been playing since I was 7. Chauncey Billups and Grant Hill are two of my favorite Pistons. The 04 championship team was one of my favorite teams. And the year we got John Berry and the alternators performed, those Pistons teams was fun to watch when they was on the way back to the playoffs. Those were one of my favorite teams. But we're here today to talk about the Pistons versus Wizards. And today, the Wizards pick up a win, 106-100. It's another loss, so I don't have much to say on the game. But here's my one takeaway, and it's plain and simple. In a game like this, with two bad teams playing, having an all-star and a go-to player to get them over the hump and get them buckets, Bradley Beal was just that today for the Wizards, scoring 29 to go with 6 assists. Detroit was led by D. Rose with 21 points, 1 assist, and 4 rebounds. The game was a back-and-forth game from beginning to end. Two teams at the bottom of the barrel in the East, scrapping for the eighth seed, both looking likely to miss out on the playoffs. Don't really have too much to say. But I do have 3 takeaways for the future of the Pistons. 1, I believe keeping Derrick Rose and Marquise Morris will be important since we have young players that we want to build around. I believe all young teams should keep solid veterans. And here in Detroit, D. Rose and Morris fit that grit, that hard work that the city loves. So I believe keeping those two on board for next year will do us some justice. 2, making an off-season count. I know we got money coming off the books with certain players, and we also have a young core to build around. We have to make it count. We cannot waste next offseason at all. And three, I know a lot of people want us to tank. I know I'm not going to say a lot, but I know a few people want us to make the playoffs as well. But in my personal opinion, I think we should just play. Don't worry about making the playoffs. Don't worry about getting the number one draft pick. Just play. I like our young core. I think we should let them keep playing and improving. Whether we make a move or don't, I don't think we should tank. I hate tanking. I don't even want to talk about tanking no more. But I do believe we should just play it out and see what happens. I like the emergence of Sekou. Fee is playing well. Bruce Brown is still improving. Can't wait to get Luke back from injury. Christian Wood is out there solid as ever. I think we got some nice pieces. And I figured, since we're having such a bad season, that just for fun, since the trade deadline is coming up, I went on to ESPN and played with the trade machine. The first trade I came up with, Philadelphia and the Pistons. We seen Langston, Galloway, and Bruce Brown, maybe a couple of the draft picks, one or two, for Zaire Smith, Trey Burke, and Thibault. I remember these are just for fun, but they worked on the trade machine, so hey, they were successful trades. I wouldn't mind doing this one, just giving up Langston, who really needs with the shooter, even though we have to give up Bruce Brown. I think what we get back in Zaire and Thibault makes up for that. My second trade that I had, I gave up Andre Drummond, Thon Maker, and Kyrie, sent them to New York for Taj Gibson, Bobby Portis, Knox, and Frank. This one is very unlikely to happen, but hey, what works in a trade machine works, and I think it'll work for the Pistons as well, because I like Taj and I like Bobby with those grit players, and you get two youngs and Knox and Frank. Now let's just say for fun we made a run for the playoffs, 7th, 8th seed. I would call up Memphis. I would say, hey, I got Thon, I got Langston, I got a second or two. Send us over Andre Iguodala. Then maybe we can get rid of Tony Snell, get off those books, have a solid wing out there, a solid defender to help go along with Sekou out there. Or I'll try the same trade with a heavy protected first in exchange for some seconds as well. Well, that's all I have for today. I want to thank Matt again for giving me the chance and the opportunity to do this. It's Detroit basketball all the way, win or lose. Good luck for the rest of the season. And if you want to follow me on Twitter, it's at @POE_GB. And I'm going to do a shameless plug for my music on all streaming platforms. Look up POE/GB. Once again, thank you, Matt, for this opportunity. Sorry for the monotone voice. I'm in the airport headed back home. Detroit versus everybody. I'm out.
When you start your hiring process, you may have questions. Will you find good applicants to choose from? What about education and experience? And how will you know you've made the right hire? Indeed is here to help. Millions of great candidates use Indeed every day to find their next opportunity. You can post a job in minutes and use screener questions to help create your short list of applicants fast. Also, add skills tests to your job posts so you can be confident in your applicants' abilities. Their library of more than 50 skills tests ranges from industry-specific skills like accounting to general aptitude tests like critical thinking. Indeed gives you the smart tools to make hiring decisions quickly and to be confident that you're making the right hire for your team. Post your job today at Indeed.com/lockedon and get a free sponsored job upgrade on your first posting. That's Indeed.com/lockedon. Terms, conditions, and exclusions apply. Offer valid through March 31st, 2020.
Yes, sir!
All right, well, there's been a lot of sad stories about the Pistons this season, as our guest knows, but one of them has been the Sausage House saga of one Andy Isaac of Uproxx, who's joining us on Locked On Pistons today. Andy, thanks for taking the time to join us.
Thanks, Matt. What's going on?
Not much, man, but World of Isaac is the handle on Twitter. You guys know Andy Isaac. You may not know who Andy Isaac is, but you know him from Twitter and social media. Big Pistons fan, big Detroit sports fan. And of the famed pictures of Andy Isaac wanting a sausage outside the sausage house at Little Caesars Arena. And I understand recently even more insult to injury as they finally opened up the sausage house and you weren't in the house. What's kind of the update? How are we doing? Are we close to getting a sausage? Where are we at right now?
So that was complete BS. That was Monday's game against the Pelicans. Mm-hmm. And like I have season tickets, like a half package. So I actually had tickets for Monday and was planning to go. Something came up like extremely last minute. And then, you know, I started getting messages from people like, you know, right before 7 o'clock, right before the game started, that it was open. And I was like, you got to be kidding me. I was like, are they tracking? I mean, is this like some kind of like bizarre conspiracy tinfoil hat type thing? So yeah, I was like, I posted a video on Twitter, but I was actually angry about it. I know that seems kind of stupid in the long run, but I was angry because I'm like, I had talked to, you know, the concessions people, and they told me, yeah, you know, obviously we can't open up for like most of the games just because it's an attendance and financial issue. And I kind of understand, even though they're open for the Wings games. But yeah, like they're like, we'll open for the bigger games. The Pelicans minus Zion isn't a big game, right? And right. So like I was kind of shocked that it was open. So yeah, you know, they're going to be open later on. They told me they're going to be open for the Lakers game. And so I just got to wait it out, you know, I guess. I'm really not happy about it, though.
Yeah, and like you said, you go to a lot of Pistons games and a lot of Detroit sports games, but obviously your affinity for the Sausage House shines through in your disappointment. Is that the best cuisine, and you're kind of the foremost expert of food in the metro area to begin with, is that the best cuisine at a stadium, any stadium at LCA? What about the Sausage House gets you all worked up?
Yeah, so, you know, the Sausage House was actually open pretty much all of last year, at least the games that I went to. And, I mean, I don't want to get into, like, the details of sausage, but they definitely have a Hungarian sausage that is really, really good. And, you know, I think they have it spread out in some other concession stands in the stadium. But, you know, just to have it all in one spot, and conveniently it's also by where my seats are. So it's, like, right when I walk into the stadium, you know, like the Sausage House is there, and then I can just walk down to my seats like 2 minutes away. So it was really convenient for me. Yeah, I mean, it's good, man. There are some decent spots, especially at Ford Field. But the Sausage House is the king of concession right now in Detroit.
And I bring this up because if you don't follow Isaac on social media, even better than the Twitter is kind of a Detroit sports persona that you have there. But on Instagram, you can follow him at Fatterday Isaac, which is Fatterday as it sounds, and Isaac, I-S-A-A-C, as it sounds as well. But it kind of, again, just as it sounds with Fatterday, you go out on Saturdays, you get away from the diet, and you go a little crazy, it appears. And so I could kind of consider you the expert of food around town too, especially for more of the everyman food that maybe the listeners are a little bit excited about or maybe interested in as well. So I got to ask you, is there a dish in Metro Detroit that has piqued your interest in 2020 or recently, the last month or so? Any surprises or hidden gems out there that people should be looking for?
Oh, that's I mean, we're still obviously early in 2020. A place that I really like that I've gone to twice now, and I'm obviously bigger into some of like the cheaper eats around town, and I have an affinity for Mexican food and South American food. There is a place in Southwest Detroit, and I'm going to screw up the name of it. It's very hard to pronounce, but it's Triangulo Dorado. It has, in my opinion, the best Mexican food. It's a regional type Mexican place, so it serves like Northern Mexican, Sinaloan type food. So if you're into especially ceviche and like Sinaloan sushi, They have some, they have a few items there that are out of this world, and I hope I don't bring them too much attention, but you know, it's gotten a lot of attention from the local food writers, the last few months. It's a really, really good spot, and like, I highly, highly recommend it for people just getting to know, some of like the spots down there.
Yeah, and I promise we'll get into the Pistons a little bit before I let you go, but I enjoy the food talk.
It's almost like this is a food podcast with the Pistons on the side or something, right?
Yeah, well, it's tough times here in Pistons land, so, as you know. So we try to keep it a little bit more anxious and hopeful, I guess. But what's something you've heard about in Metro Detroit that's on your list of foods that you're going to be tackling soon that maybe your white whale of sorts?
So I don't know if I have a white whale. I keep track of most of the new food openings, and like I'm very like meticulous about this. Like I keep spreadsheets. It's kind of nerdy. I keep spreadsheets of places I want to go, and obviously I have to track like my spending for food and stuff. But I don't know if I have a white whale. I mean, one place that I actually haven't been to that's been around for I think more than a year is Grandma Bob's in Corktown. It's a pizza spot. I definitely want to make it to Penny Red's, which is a fried chicken place just outside the Shinola Hotel. Mm-hmm. There's just so many, you know, I was talking to one of my friends who writes food for the Free Press, and just about just how much saturation there is right now in the market. And unfortunately, I think that's probably going to lead to some places like closing, but there's a lot of good food, and there's a lot of like opportunities for, you know, upcoming chefs in the Detroit area right now. But I don't know if I have like a white whale, a place that like I've been dying to go to that I haven't been to already.
Well, Penny Red's right inside the Brakeman Bar there, so I appreciate the fact that I've actually been to a place that you haven't been to. So that makes me feel like I know what I'm doing here.
I love chicken wings. I love fried chicken. I try to hit as many places. And, you know, that's like the big thing right now. Everyone wants to push out a fried chicken sandwich. And, you know, Ima just opened up in Midtown with their like Japanese fried chicken sandwich. That's very good. So, yeah, that's a big thing right now.
Yeah, I did have the Ima sandwich. Mikey picked up a bunch of us as he was heading into Lions practice one day. So I did have the Ima chicken sandwich. So excited to pass along.
What did you think? It's pretty spicy.
It's pretty spicy. I don't dislike spice, but maybe I can't handle it as much as maybe your average big fan of spice. So it did throw me off when locker room availability came in. I had to house a couple of waters before I went in there and was able to talk to some of the Lions about how their horrible season ended up. If you've been a listener of this podcast, I'm sure you've heard all the great advertising working with Locked On to reach sports fans, but you may not know that Locked On Pistons is a great way for your local business to reach passionate Pistons fans just like you. Unlike any other podcast, Locked On gives your local company the unique ability to reach local podcast listeners. Not just any podcast listener, a Locked On podcast listener. If your company wants to connect with Pistons fans and a predominantly male audience that is well-educated with disposable income, then let's put your company right here on this Locked On podcast. Local fans love to support local businesses. Text the word advertising to 33777 or visit lockedonpodcast.com/advertising and let us know who you are. We'll get our team to help your team achieve Locked On advertising success. Once again, text the word advertising to 33777 or visit lockedonpodcast.com/advertising. We look forward to hearing from you.
The social media persona world of Isaac, I know there's probably a long story on how it grew and how you did it. And I know that's part of your day job as well is being good at growing these kind of things. But can you give us maybe the short version of how World of Isaac got started and how it turned into such a big staple with the Detroit sports scene?
So I'm an old person in terms of like actual like digital media. You know, I've been blogging probably since 2006. So I started, you know, kind of just like a personal blog called World of Isaac. That was just like, you know, this is like the early days of the internet where, you know, people kind of just threw up their thoughts in a blog and, you know, they gained readers that way. So a lot of people know me, you know, from way back then. And then, you know, Twitter came around 2009 and, you know, kind of just, I've never had a, just like huge influx of followers. I think it's just gained steadily, you know, since, you know, late 2009, you know, and that's, we're talking about like 10 years later now. So yeah, I mean, that's, there's no like hidden secret to what I do. I think people just know who I am, and I think people kind of enjoy that I'm authentic and I'm willing to, you know, be self-deprecating and stuff. So yeah, and I think people like the sports angle, and you know, we've been treated to really crappy sports here in Detroit these last few years. And I think people kind of just attach themselves to, you know, the morbidity of that. So mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, there's no secret to what I do. Like I do work in digital media. I work for UpRocks, and I do a lot of like social media and user acquisition for them. But yeah, it's different than, you know, what I do, like just for Twitter and Instagram and all the Saturday stuff.
Yeah, they're all good follows. And if you're listening to Locked On Pistons, you're probably already following Andy at World of Isaac. But if you're not yet for some reason, do that and laugh along with our pain, I guess, here in Detroit with the sports.
Yeah, seriously.
A little bit about that pain here. Let's talk Pistons. I mean, if you had to kind of you're at a lot of the games and following it otherwise. If you had to diagnose the problems, and we're taping this on Thursday morning, by the way, and I didn't even tell Andy this, but this isn't going to run until Tuesday. So we've got like mm-hmm. 4 days, and between the time we tape this and Tuesday, maybe some big move or Andre Drummond has been traded or something like that has already happened by the time listeners hear this. But as we tape this on Thursday morning, is there something specific that you would do at the deadline or something that you would do this summer if you had to kind of diagnose some of the problems? Or are you kind of on board with the apparent plan of looking to deal Drummond this month and go through what appears to be at least a little bit of a rebuild here in this next year or so? Or what would you kind of do as the general broad strokes plan to bring this team back?
So I'm pretty sure we can call it a rebuild.
Sure.
At this point with Blake out, and, you know, he's out indefinitely, and my guess is he'll probably be out the entire season. If they don't move Andre, it's kind of a huge mistake for them. It doesn't work out for them if he stays because, you know, he either leaves for nothing. They don't get anything in return unless they do a sign and trade, or he decides to pick up that option. And, you know, you're paying, I don't know how much the option is off the top of my head, but I want to say it's in the high 20 million.
Yeah. 28.
So yeah. I mean, they need to trade him, and they need to get expiring contracts, and they need to get a first round pick, in return. My guess is that it's going to be the Hawks. But yeah, I mean, they need to like go into full rebuild mode. They need to play Sekou as much as possible. They need to see what they have in Bruce Brown, at the one. They need to see what they can get out of V, which is, you know, as much as Sekou is a big story right now, I'm really surprised at how well V has played these last few weeks, because, I mean, if you saw him in preseason, he looked lost, especially like on the defensive end. So yeah, I've been really impressed with him these last few weeks. And obviously I think they have a star in Sekou, and yes, it's early, and he's probably started, you know, what, 5 or 6 games at this point, but man, he has looked really good, and he looks like something they could build around. So yeah, I mean, we have to be in full rebuild mode. We have to go in for the rest of the season knowing that, you know, they're not going to play well most games, and they're going to lose a lot of games. You know, we're taping this on Thursday. They beat the Celtics last night, which I think kind of shocked all of us. Nobody really saw that coming. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I think there's going to be more bad in terms of losses, but I think more good in terms of development for some of those young guys.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I think I'm in lockstep with you on all that, and we'll see how it all shakes out and what Arne Tellem and Ed Stefanski are able to do here at the trade deadline coming up. One last question for you, Andy. It would be such a great story. I'm kind of neutral when it comes to Michigan and Michigan State, too. You know, great college basketball teams right now that it will have a chance coming up in March, and that's going to be the big story here as the spring approaches here in Detroit. You're a Spartan guy. How do you feel about Cassius Winston and Tom Izzo? I mean, this could be a really good chance with a senior point guard to go out and get Izzo's second national championship. And like I said, as a neutral guy who doesn't really lean either way, especially in basketball, I'm going to definitely be rooting for the green and white to make it happen. And what a special story that would be. Are you feeling like this is a team that could get it done this March?
Oh man, you don't want to get me started on Michigan. I'll go for like a half an hour on Michigan State basketball, but you know, I think if they had Langford and they had Joey Hauser, that's a national championship team, and that's the favorite for the national championship. But if you watch their games right now, their big hole right now is probably at the four and probably outside shooting, which both those guys, you know, would have given them a big boost. So, yeah, I don't know. I mean, college basketball obviously seems more wide open this year than in past years. I mean, Duke just lost to Clemson the other day, and you know, there's no big heavyweight out there. It's going to be interesting. They're going to go as far as Cassius and Tillman probably take them, but they need an emergence of an outside shooter. They need a Gabe Brown or an Aaron Henry to step up and, you know, score 10 to 15 points a game pretty consistently.
Yeah, I think like you hit it on the head, you kind of expect that Cassius and Tillman will come through, but if a guy like Aaron Henry can get it together and be that third player, and then maybe some of the freshmen step up and hit some shots as well, that could be a big thing for this team going forward. But Andy Isaac, thanks for your time. Really appreciate it. Follow him on Twitter at World of Isaac and also Fatterday Isaac on Instagram. And continued good health for you in 2020, Andy. There's a story from Bill Shea of The Athletic that everyone should read about Andy's background and battling cancer. So best wishes to you, and enjoy the cuisine of Detroit, and we'll talk to you real soon, man.
Yeah, for sure. And hopefully the next time we talk, it'll be post-Sausage House visit, you know?
You got to believe.
Yeah, you got to believe. Just like the Pistons, you got to believe. For sure. Thanks for having me on, man. I appreciate it.
That is the great Andy Isaac of UpRocks, World of Isaac on Twitter, and Fatterday Isaac. Happy 40th to him. And, yeah, I mean, just a great article on Bill Shea, as I mentioned, of The Athletic, where he got to know Andy a little bit, told his story. I would encourage you guys to read that article, and we'll check on with Andy again at some point in the future. But real fun conversation, and excited to get some more food tips from him throughout Metro Detroit. But thanks again to Chubbs coming through as the guest host. And thanks again to Andy Isaac for joining us. That'll do it for us on the Locked On Pistons podcast. Back with a regular episode. I'll be back in Michigan on Tuesday night getting ready for Wednesday's episode, as we'll see what has happened over these last few days. Anxious to talk about with you guys. This is your host, Matt Shook, of the Locked On Pistons podcast, saying we'll be back to real life tomorrow. Thanks for listening, everyone.